as lift a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
God bless you for coming. We are so pleased to see you again this morning. We are excited you are here. Oh, are you clapping or you are doing something like that?
I said
we are happy you are here this morning. And certainly you will be a blessing. So we have been looking at what we call growing up onto spiritual maturity. Heavenly Father, take over my tongue. Speak through me, Lord, by the inspiration of your spirit. Let me only say what I must say. And let us hear what we must hear. Barakata Shaba Reketesh. Remeno Sheke Breketu Zada. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we explained that spiritual maturity has to do with a full development that cuts across your mental state, your moral state, and your spiritual life as well. Developing in these three areas into Christ. That means emotionally you grow into Christ. Spiritually you grow into Christ. And mentally you grow into Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Growing into the person, that is the personality of Christ Jesus. We also said it is about conformity to the image, the person and the character of Christ. And that is what the Bible calls the state of perfection. We were careful to explain to us that, you know, there are certain erroneous impressions or ideologies that we try to give an answer to. That number one, all dead Christians have not yet attained to the perfection that scripture talks about. They have not attained to the full maturity where they look like Jesus 100%. We saw that in 1 John 3 verse 2. Where John says that when we see Christ, that is when our final part shall be saved. Our final part shall be changed. That is our body. The day you become born again, all you have received the gift of a new creation. Your spirit is saved. But your soul is going through daily salvation. We call it continuous salvation. That means that as for your soul, which comprised of, like I told you, your mind, your will, and your emotions. These three aspects of you is going through daily change or daily salvation. That is why somebody becomes born again. The day you became born again, you see that you have an encounter with God. You sense the presence of God. You repent of your sins. But after you walk out, in your mind, you have not forgotten the steps you used to go through in order to defraud people. You still know the steps. Your mind hasn't changed. You still know how to con a girl. Your mind hasn't changed. You know how to go about all the fraudulent activities. You have not forgotten. It's not like the day you become born again, then you forget the three steps to hacking into somebody's account. That one is not born again. You still remember it. I get what I'm saying. When you become born again, do you forget all the worldly music? You still remember every line. But the Bible says you're a new creation. So how come your mind is still intact? Your mind is now going to go through what we call salvation process, transformation, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That one is what we call continuous salvation. That is why somebody can be legitimately born again, but his mind, his mentality about drinking hasn't changed. So he can still walk out there and take alcohol until you start teaching him the ways of God. You start teaching him the ways of God. Then he will begin to now realize that stealing is not good. He will now begin to accept the fact that drinking is not good. He will now begin to accept the fact that fornication is not good. He will now begin to accept. So the mental change or the renewal of our mind is what we call continuous salvation. That is where your feelings begin to change. It's a gradual process. You will still feel for the things you used to feel for, even when you become born again. It will take a period of renewal for your feelings to start reversing to original state, where you will no more have that hunger for that addiction. You will no longer have that hunger for that smoking. Sometimes there are people that they are able to have a drastic turnaround. But largely, breaking of addiction and change of lifestyle is a process that starts after you become born again. So you are a new creation.
We are body for fraud.
But you must continue. That is why the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 23, it says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Are you following what I'm teaching? Having been born again, or use the King James, he will make you understand the word I want to use. The King James will give it to you better. It's that being born again, you are in the process. You are in the process. The word of God is what can set you in that motion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
So the word of God, he comes to save us. He saves which part of us? Our soul. To begin to change things about us. The way we think. The things we like. The things we feel for. Those ones, they don't change in a twinkling of an eye. So as you go through the study of the word and go through daily life with the Lord or daily journey with the Lord, he is saving you gradually. Tell somebody you are being saved. God has not finished that. That is why you are not spiritually matured yet. You are still at a level. No matter the level you are, you are still at a level. I am not fully matured yet. I'm still at a level. Hello?
Hi.
That is why Paul said that, for I do not consider myself to yet have apprehended. Philippians. I don't consider myself I have attained. That as for me, I don't have any error. That as for me, I don't need any growing to do. Tell somebody, but you still have some growing to do. I know it's very, very easy to point at the errors of someone. But I present to you that you too have some growing to do. Paul says that I do not yet consider myself to have apprehended. But I follow after. if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we are all growing. And then Paul helps us. Go to verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me and reaching forth for the things that are before me. Are you getting it?
What's here?
That's our devotion for this morning. Forgetting the things behind you and striving to learn new things of God will help you to get better and better. Will help you to grow and grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord. So we are not perfect. Whatever level you are, you still have some growing to do. According to what Paul is saying right here. We explain also that even Christians who are alive are still not yet perfect. Because the third level of salvation will happen. That is where we become perfect. It will happen when the third level of salvation. I've explained the first two levels of salvation, isn't it? Who remembers? I just explained the two levels of salvation. The first level is the salvation of your spirit. Where you become born again in your spirit. That one, it happens instantaneously. You are reconnected to God. Pam. Your spirit is activated back to God. The Bible calls it a regeneration. That means that you have been generated again. There is life in your spirit again, which is the life of God. That one, it happens the day you genuinely surrender. The underlying word is genuinely surrender to Jesus. Faith in your heart. Then the second one begins, which is the continuous salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which is the continuous one.
Yeah, talk also no.
That is why the Bible tells us that we are being commended to the word of God, which is able to save us. Which is able to save us.
To me, G-M-Kwa.
So the daily giving yourself to that word, which renews your mind, is what is saving you. It's saving you from bad relationship. It's saving you from bad temperament. It's saving you from bad lifestyle. It's saving you from every bad thing in your life. Then the third one will happen. The one we call the final salvation. The one that will now usher you into that perfection you are looking for. Where you will not need to control yourself anymore.
The
reason is because the Bible says that you are going to receive a brand new body. Dead or alive, on the day of rapture, the day of the trumpet, you are going to change and receive a brand new body. You are going to receive the body that is the body of Jesus. The body that Jesus himself has. And we explain that in that body, you will not last after sin. You will not last after the things of the world. Like the way Jesus did not last after the things of the world. After now, you have not yet received that body. That is why you've got to discipline yourself. That is why you still wake up after all your fasting. You see some beautiful sister and it looks like you should watch again. Because you are still in this body. Even though your spirit is saved. Even though your soul is changing. But you are still in this body. So the body will also try to crave for food. Will crave for the things of this world. And all the pleasures of this world. It's because you are in that body. But the day you are changed, Bible says that then you are going to be like him. You are going to receive that glorified body. The body that is higher than all the elements of this world. The body that can choose to eat when he wants to eat. Like Jesus resurrected and still ate with them, chewed fish with them. Then their eyes opened. Then they saw that it was Jesus. Then the Bible says that he disappeared. So a body that can eat yet disappearable. A body that Mary was going to touch said, don't touch me because I'm going to my father. After 1 week, gets back from his father. And now he tells Thomas, touch me. He now tells the disciples, touch me. The same body that can go to heaven and still dwell on earth. It's a body that is both celestial and at the same time terrestrial. That is why when you go to heaven now, you will see Jesus in a body. You will see God in a body called Jesus. You are going to also receive that body. It is in that state that Paul calls perfection. It is in that state that John calls perfection.
But
that day when we see him, then we shall be like him. But as for now, let's continue to work on our mind. Let's continue to change our appetites. Let's trust God and feed on the word of God so that our temperament will be changing. So that we'll keep growing and growing and growing to him. Awaiting the day of the rapture where we shall receive the full salvation. Where we shall become 1,000% like Jesus. No difference. Clap your two hands for that. Ask somebody, do you understand that now? That is why the Bible says that for those that he knew, those he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That's maturity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are supposed to become like Jesus. Romans 8:29. Now, you must understand that being an active Christian does not mean you are matured in Christ. Tell somebody, being very active in the church does not mean you are matured in the spirit. The fact that you don't miss choir rehearsals does not mean you are matured in the spirit. The fact that you pray in Mashingani tongues does not mean that you are matured in the spirit. Because sometimes you look at the tongues of someone and they say that Charlie, this one at another level. Then it looks like you are beginning to hide your tongues because yours look more like alphabet. This one sounds more like bombs and missiles. How many of you have felt intimidated by somebody's tongues before? Some of the people, they intimidate you with their tongue, but they are not spiritual. You are even more spiritual than them. I'm the one by you. Let me hear your tongues. Say your tongues. Let me hear. Let me hear whether you are speaking machine gun tongues. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tongue speaking is very spiritual. But some people think that it is the measurement for your maturity. No, sir. It is not the measuring scale for your maturity. It doesn't matter how long you pray in the spirit. Maybe you have spiritual stamina. You can pray 5 hours, 10 hours, 24 hours. It does not still mean you are spiritually mature. Clap your two hands for the Lord. It doesn't mean. Don't be deceived. So I said, the way this guy can pray, he's very matured. Don't be deceived. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must also understand that gray hair is not a sign of maturity in Christ. And beard does not translate into maturity. Irrespective of how whitish your beard are. Because sometimes you meet a child of God who is having gray hair and you interpret that as this one is a spiritually mature person.
No.
We are all at different levels, but you'll be very surprised that someone with black hair may be more spiritual than one with the gray hair. Be more mature than the one you are interpreting their gray hair for maturity. So in Christ, gray hair doesn't matter. That is why I can be feeding gray hair people, because in the spirit I can be more mature than them, even though they look older physically than I am. Are you here with
me?
Demonstrating the gifts of the spirit is also not a sign of maturity in Christ. Are you writing them down? I'm telling you the things that are not maturity in Christ. Because those are the things you erroneously conclude as this guy is spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. Now, if you know a little about the Bible, you understand that the church in Corinth, that's the Corinthian church, they were one of the churches that were gifted with spiritual gifts. It was in that church that Paul had to resolve the issues of tongue speaking. But by the time the pastor is preaching, somebody will get a song in the crowd right now.
They
have gifts of singing. By the time the pastor is preaching, somebody will start prophesying. Shelly, right now. And the church has to stop and listen to the Shelly. And then we interpret, Mama. Have you ever seen that thing before? Yeah, it's very, very spiritual. It's very, very spiritual. I get what I'm saying. Oh, we have some in this church too. We have some. We have service where people can, you know, have that utterance. It's allowed. It's in the Bible. But I'm trying to say that it was more predominant in the Corinthian church. So one will conclude that was the most spiritual church Paul had. Hello, are you following me? Because Paul didn't have because you see, at a point, the prophecies were coming so much that there was confusion in the church. This one will get up and will start prophesying. Mama, happy birthday, Merry Christmas. And as the person is prophesying, another person too will get up.
Sorry.
I want to say that don't listen to the one that sister is saying. I am the Lord, the God of the heavens. Then he also starts his own. He will not finish. Then another person too will start. And so they reported it to Paul. Paul said, no, this is disorder. You know, I heard a true story of a certain church in Ghana here. In Accra. In those days, one of the Pentecostal churches, in those days, you know, they wear gown, you know.
Want to shake gown.
It was a healing church. In those days, their name has healer in it.
They were into healing.
And one of their pastors in a branch.
Now, one is off from back, one crab at answer in him.
He has two girlfriends in the church.
Hey.
In the church. So do you see that they dance in a circle?
Some
of them they dance like that in a circle. So then they have their thing in their waist. So one day, they have been prophesying. The one of the girlfriends normally prophesy. So one of the days, this girlfriend, the spirit came upon the girlfriend.
That girlfriend,
it's not the wife, oh, the girlfriends.
Yeah, girlfriend.
They were fighting. The wife was very cool sitting down. So girlfriend, one would get up and say that, you know, they were gang chairs. They started speaking in the gang. You know, they started saying a lot of things. One of the days, the second girlfriend realized that, no, the battle has become, if I don't take her, I'll lose this pastor because this guy, this girl is prophesying too much. So when the first person started, the moment he started, no, then the other one also received utterance. And also got up.
No, I'm so sorry.
Then, all of them. They were holding girlfriend one. They were holding girlfriend two. And then the girlfriend two said in Ghan that I am not the one speaking in her. Then the person said in Ghan, Nona Kewokona Kaye. How many of you understand that Ghan? What we have not put into your mouth, don't say it. Not like a woko na kaiwe. Tell somebody, not like a woko na kaiwe. Because there was competition between those.
I want to pray be home.
Amen.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord. So someone would think that a church that has those things, they are very spiritual, isn't it?
Yes.
So you look at another church that they don't really do those kind of things, that this all gets up and say, I see, you know, those days when you belong to a fellowship on the park, so that this one will prophesy, this one will prophesy. Oh, young boys and girls, they prophesy, Papa. Hey, I mean, I grew from sad groups, so the rate at which we prophesy in those days is different from when we grew up. This one will prophesy. This one will prophesy. I saw this. I saw that. The order of the day in fellowships on campus and on the parks. Now listen. So you would conclude that, oh, this group is very spiritual. But look at what Paul said about that church. That church that had spiritual gifts. Paul had to now explain to them the spiritual gifts. All the gifts of the spirit, the prophetic gifts, the miracle gifts, the gifts of faith, the healings, all the gifts. It was a very spiritual church. So Paul spoke about a lot of spiritual things. But it does not mean that they are matured. Look at what Paul said about them. Read the opening of Paul's letter to them. Chapter 3, verse 1. One, go. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. Change the version. People who were prophesying, people who were healing, people who were seeing visions, people who were demonstrating a lot of gifts, that there was chaos in the church. However, brothers and sisters, I could not talk to you as to spiritual people, but only as to worldly people, dominated by human nature, mere infants in the new life in Christ. So what I'm trying to say is that when you see somebody with a wild prophetic gift, don't conclude that he's a very spiritual person. So it's just a gift he's operating. You can have a gift. God gives gifts. You can have a gift. Okay? Don't interpret my preaching to spiritual maturity. So that when you hear me teach, you say that, oh, as for this pastor, he's very matured in the Lord.
No.
Relate with me after service. Meet me by the roadside. Meet me at home. Then when I relate with you, you now begin to look out the likeness of Christ in me. Now that will help you to measure my level. Not when I'm demonstrating my teaching gifts. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Not when she's singing. Then she can sing. Then you see that she'll get to a certain junction in the singing that it will be only tongues. Shele, mama, mama, la, la, la. Shele. Focal. Nothing. She'll just finish. Yeah, her boyfriend is waiting for her at the junction. There's an Uber waiting. Registration on my GS. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm telling you. Tell somebody, focal. Relate with her after church. When you hear the things she talks about, how she throw jabs, then you understand that whether she's matured or not. Am I communicating? No, don't be intimidated. If a prayer squad leader, then you pick mine. We are praying. Barakatash. Ash! Please. Spare us. It does not mean you are matured in the
Lord.
When temptation befalls you, it will test your maturity. When you become angry, it will test your maturity. The things that you will say, the way you handle your emotions, the way you handle yourself, is it like Christ? Are you striving to look like Jesus? That is what we call spiritual maturity. Looking like Jesus. Thinking like Jesus. Growing into the image, the person, and the character of Jesus. Not manifesting spiritual gifts. Growing up, I can finish me. I started preaching when I was 10 years. I told you. I started preaching, doing this way when I was 10 years old. Don't think that in those days I was as spiritually matured as I may be today. Because I remember in those days I was still playing football. If you kick me, I'll kick you back. I remember in those days I was still fighting. At home, I'll fight. I didn't fight with my siblings. Then they will nickname me Sofumoko. Because after I finish fighting, I'll go and sleep. They'll come and wake me up. I'll go and preach. It was a gift the Lord gave me. So you can just wake me up and I'll teach you. I pray for people, they get healed easily. I don't struggle. Even when I've not prayed for 1 year, I can just pray a simple prayer for you, you'll be healed. It is not a sign that I'm matured in the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I'm trying to denounce that thing. So that you stop measuring people by their gifts. Because that is why we have a lot of rubbish in the pulpit. Yeah, they say this man of God has done this. Then you wonder whether it's God working through them. It's God. Not all of them are courts. Not all of them. It's the gift of God. But the container carrying the gift doesn't look like the giver of the gift. Doesn't look like the one who gave him the gift. His prophecies are correct. If you joke with them, they will come through. You'll be in trouble. But you hear what he has done and you'll be shocked. You will say this one is not from God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God can still use people. Even when they have bad character. But it doesn't measure their maturity. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Speak in the language of the spirit for just a few seconds. Go out of my belly, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of my belly shall flow Amen.
Amen.
Clap your two hands for the Lord. Now, when you become born again, there are three stages you will go through in terms of spiritual maturity. Tell somebody by you three stages. All of us belong to one of the three stages. Every one of us. We belong to one of the three
stages.
Now listen to me. The Bible compares coming into Christ as being born. 1 Peter 1:23. Go back to that scripture. He compares our coming into Christ, joining the Jesus' family, as being born. As birth. That means that just as birth behaves or issues of birth is in the physical, so also it is in the spiritual. Nobody is born a fully matured person in the physical. True or not true? Won't you be amazed if you go to visit your sister in the hospital who has freshly delivered? Oh yes, like yesterday, God blessed us with another child. Our dear sister Sabina, Egbo's wife, just delivered. Let's clap our hands. Dear boy or a girl? A girl. Beautiful. Congratulations, precious father. Now listen. I am very, very sure that if Alfred should visit the hospital, or they should bring the child here, and we see that the baby that has been born is already 70 years old, how many of you will be surprised? How many of you will shout? It's like you exclaim, hey! What did the person say? Everybody's laughing like that. What? God's way. Listen. The way you'll be surprised. Why are you going to be surprised? You'll be surprised because you have observed the principle of nature. That
in this world,
natural reproduction is after the order of younger kind, not older kind. It's the principle of reproduction. There is no plant that reproduces after a bigger other plant. No. Neither is there a human being who goes to push out another mother. The mother went to push out a mother. Or went to push out somebody's grandfather. It's against the principle of reproduction. If we say you are being born, then you are being born into a younger kind. So the first stage of Christian maturity is the stage of babyhood. Everybody say babyhood. You didn't say from the back. Say babyhood. And I want everybody to pay rapt attention. Don't sleep. The day you became born again, you were born as a baby. So those of you who join us on Sunday, SRS, you are a fresh baby in our midst.
1
Peter 2 verse 2. The Bible says that as newborn babies. So when you become born again, you have been born as a new baby. All the children that I have, they were given to me as fresh babies. None of them was given to me 12 years old or 10 years old. or even 2 years old,
and I'm here,
I carried them better.
Before one,
I get what I'm saying.
What is open, can I say?
For every woman here, every man here who is married, God will bless you with more children.
Amen.
Let your amen be a resounding one.
Amen.
And everybody here who is young, when you grow and you marry, you will not have to wait any single day to have children. Amen. Receive it prophetically in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So Peter says that as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word so that you can grow. So your first step is newborn. Newborn. That's why 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says that I write to you as babies. He was talking about people who are fresh in the Lord. People who are not matured. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Now, what are the characteristics of babyhood level?
Now, you are about to see
some of the. If you see that you are in that category, no, you lift up your hand.
Say that I'm here.
Presence. I'm going to mention certain things that characterizes babyhood stage. And the moment you see that you are there, just lift up your hand. Don't let me call your name. If I call your name, like Pastor is talking about you, you yourself own up and say that, oh, I'm here. I'm right. I came to church. Present, sir. Are you ready for the list?
Yeah.
Tap the one by you and say, carefully listen. It looks like your name is around here. It looks like your name. Carefully listen. Carefully listen. Carefully listen. The younger ones. You may think you are at babyhood, but maybe you are at a different level. You have crossed some gray hair people here. Amen.
Amen.
Now, one thing you can never ever have is an impartation of spiritual maturity. I can't lay hands on you for you to be spiritual. I can't say, receive maturity. No. Tell somebody, it doesn't work like that. It's like, I lay hands on my daughter. I said, today, receive the grace. Receive, grow into 20 years now. Then all my child grew. I'm sure they will come and arrest us and go investigate. No. So I cannot impart with maturity. You have to grow. You have to do the things babies do to grow. You have to subject yourself to the principle of growth. So step by step. You can't skip it. You can't. So listen to me carefully. That's why I've not shouted receive it. Have you heard receive it some last week? To this week. You can't receive it. What do you want to receive? Growth. You must grow. You must grow. You can't say that. I pray for receive spiritual growth. Then you shout, I receive it. It's ignorance. Because you cannot receive it. You have to grow into it. You have to grow into it. It's like somebody said that, Pastor, pray for me so that I'll receive patience. Me, I should pray for you to receive patience. Then me cry like I'll pray for myself. We don't pray for people to receive patience. We don't pray for people to receive humility. We don't pray for people to have an obedient heart. No. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. We learn patience by the trial of our faith. For the trial of your faith worketh patience. When you are tempted, and you are tempted, and you are tempted, and you become angry, and you are about to react, then you hear the voice of God, then you keep restraining yourself. That is how patience is built up. You don't lay hands for patience to come, for humility to come. You have to learn it in the hard way. So I always tell people, the day you pray, oh Lord, give me a patient heart, be ready for temptation. That's how God can answer that prayer. Be ready that somebody's come to test you in that area. If you are quick tempered, more people are coming to test your temperament. And as you now try to refrain from attacking them, you are now building up what? Patience, humility, and those virtues. Clap your two hands. I'm teaching and I'm not shouting, I'm not preaching. I just want to teach gradually because of the topic I'm dealing with. Because of the topic I'm dealing with. So, number one characteristics, write down. Everybody, write it down. Babyhood stage, how are they like? They can't do a lot of things for themselves. They are fully dependent. Your baby cannot even prepare tea. Your baby cannot even lift up a cup. Your baby cannot even change diaper. Your baby cannot even tell you that he has messed himself up. Your baby cannot tell you that my head aches. Your baby cannot say that my stomach aches. Your baby cannot say that I am hungry. Hello, is it true? They cannot do things for themselves. What will you say if you give birth to a 1 week child and before you go and fetch water, you came back, he's already standing in the washroom, blowing whistle, doing the swab. I'm sure you say the ancestors have visited. Your ancestors have visited you. Because they come back for themselves.
What did you mean?
Hear me. Spiritual babies can also not do anything for themselves. The truth of the matter is that they can't even read the Bible for themselves. They don't even know the approach. Somebody will have to guide them. Somebody must check up on them. They are hungry, but they can't tell you they are hungry. So somebody must check the time. Oh, I gave him food 1 o'clock, so it's now 2 o'clock. 1 hour. Oh, maybe my baby is 1 hour, 1 hour. Somebody must be responsible for everything they need. That is how spiritual babies are. They can't come to church by themselves. Somebody has to go and pick them. Those of you we came to pick you today, your name has been mentioned. You were a baby. Those we called you to come to church before you came, you were a baby. Those we had to encourage you before you were able to make it here, you are still a baby. Those we have to ensure you read your Bible before you do, you are still a baby. They don't know how to do anything for themselves. Please ask the one by, are you in that category? Are you in that category? Don't deceive yourself that you have been in this church for 5 years. Longevity in the church does not equate to maturity in Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
What's in the American?
So you can have somebody who is your chief usher, had been in the church for 20 years, but in the spirit is a 1 year old child. Because we still need to encourage the person. Do we still need to encourage you? Do we still need to tell you to read your Bible? Do quiet time. I have a baby at home. Even when she's hungry, you still have to catch her. Even when she's hungry, you still have to grab her. And then put her on your lap. Then she'll be struggling with you. Then you have to push the first spoon into her mouth. Before she realizes she's hungry, then she'll finish the rest of the food. But if you know you were hungry, why were you behaving like it? I have to catch you. Tell somebody by you, that is how spiritual babies are. They need the word. Their spirits are hungry. But they don't even know. They don't even know. It takes a shepherd to feed them, to teach them, to ensure that they are grabbing something.
They are listening to message. They are reading the Bible. Somebody must assist them. Somebody must hold their hands. Somebody must carry them. Somebody must show them how to clean up their mess. I've been a shepherd since I was 10 years old.
What
we say a shepherd? Somebody who takes care of another child of God.
And
I've had to face a lot of parents to answer why their child who I take to church is still behaving rudely at home. They have trained their child for 18 years.
Why not tell my friend if you do watching?
And the 18 years have produced a stubborn girl.
And 18 years no, our friend has swear.
And they expect that because I brought that child to church.
Now one thing says that somebody have a friend about sorry
for 1 week.
Now what you back up?
There will be magic.
That's the magic PC.
And all the stubbornness have disappeared.
Now what now so then two are
when you wait for 18 years, and you couldn't achieve 18 as you use 1 week. That's unfair. I have to go and clean up their mess. I have to go and give the appearance heart. That, oh, you just give them time, they'll get better. It is just like me cleaning the pampers, the diaper, changing up my child. I have to clean up. You see, a lot of shepherds say you have to always be doing damage control. For certain mess your souls have caused. They've caused the mess at home. And you have to go and mop it. Some of them come to even church and cause a mess in the church. Don't you see us changing children's diapers in church? The same way some of you come to church, you come and fight with another brother. You come and fight with another sister. Then you see that either your elder or your shepherd will have to go and stand and say, oh, you know, just calm down. Oh, don't stop church because of this. You see, this one is because of that. What we are doing is that we are cleaning your poop. We are cleaning your poop. You are a baby. You are a baby. You are a baby. You are a baby. We are making up for you. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Now, are you a baby? Tell me the truth. Don't lie. All liars will go to hell. Are you a baby?
Hey.
It looks like we have a lot of babies, though. Yeah. How many can see we have a lot of babies in the system? From today, may you grow to the level where you can do things for yourself. Your shepherd doesn't need to call you to wake up and pray. Once it's 5 o'clock, you know the link is on the page. You wake up, you are praying. You don't need somebody to check up on you. Have you done your quiet time? The moment you wake up, you are at it. If we have to check you like boot to boot, bumper to bumper, close marking. Before you do the spiritual things you are supposed to do, it's a sign that you are a baby. Number two sign. All he can eat is milk.
Wow.
What babies can take from the beginning is milk. Have you ever seen a baby that is eating fufu from the start? It doesn't matter if you are even born in Menshia, you still have to drink milk. You can't eat fufu.
What do you mean fufu?
It doesn't matter if you are born in the Grand Manche Palace, you still have to eat milk, not kinki. You start with milk.
Milk.
That is why God in his wisdom made the women in such a way that the moment they are about to deliver, their breasts start filling with milk.
It's natural.
How many of you prayed for breast milk? Lady Pastor, did you pray for breast milk? I didn't have to lay hands on my wife that received breast milk. No. Because the baby coming, the first food the baby will rely on his milk, and God in his wisdom makes it available.
When there are
matters of medical issues and you cannot even breastfeed,
because of certain medical conditions. God has given men wisdom. They have manufactured milk that looks almost like the one in the breast milk. Nan 1 and other things. They have nan 1, nan 2. What? SM. Lactogen. SM something. Is it shutter movement? SMA. I have to ask. For me, all I know is nan 1 and nan 2 and nan 3 and needle plus 1 and those things. That's the family I belong to. Some of you don't know how it is. When you give birth, you understand. May God give you money. Amen.
Amen.
No matter how you love Tuozafi, you start with milk. You start with milk. You start with milk. Ask the one by you, what do you really like? Take an answer. Somebody likes teaser. Somebody likes Eba. Someone favorite is Gary and soup. What do you really like? Fetridechi. Gobe. What did he say he likes? Gobe. And what did he also say he likes? What do you like? Jollof. Are you from this part of the country? Dickie, what do you really like? Speak the truth. All else you go to hell. What do you really like? Uncle and Fetridechi. Clap for him. Fetridechi. Yes. Lady, what do you like? Fufu and granola soup. Hey! Mara, what do you like? Kenke, girl woman. You don't disappoint. Kenke, what do you like? Akple. Beautiful. Naomi, what do you like? Rice. But do you know that irrespective of what you are saying you like, you still started with milk? So it doesn't matter what your appetite is. When you were a baby, the first thing you can accept and receive is milk. Because your system, your organs have not even developed enough to be grinding those things, to be breaking down those things. You dare give any of these things you have mentioned to a fresh baby, you kill it. You kill the baby. Sika nifienti with a general loading the banku. One day old is a sika nifi dinada dinada. Ko hal and only minchi a war. Amen. Are you following me? No matter the level is. Why? Because they cannot handle solid food. Write it down. They can't handle solid food. They can't. They don't have the capacity. It's not like what they like is milk. All of you started with milk. I look at the food you have mentioned. None of you mentioned milk.
Yes,
I was expecting that one of you will be loyal to the milk of your mother. Your mother breastfed you, but you never said your favorite is breast milk. How many of you, your favorite is breast milk? Hey. You are still drinking breast milk. They said a married man. Hey, don't look for trouble, mommy. Don't look for trouble. Even that one is not milk they go for. They go for something else. They go for a feeling, not milk. Because milk doesn't come. But they are still after it. So it's not the milk. So nobody here is loyal to the milk that saved them. Everybody wants solid. Say solid. Say hard. Swallow. Somebody calls it swallow. Me, I like to swallow. Some of you, your breakfast, it cannot be milo. Tofiakwa. You bind. Press down. Shake it together. You bind. It cannot. For where? That breakfast will be beverage. Bear what? Take your beverage. Some of you, you like it heavy for the start. See the way Felicia is shaking the head. It's like, oh, I'm a prophet. Amen.
Amen.
The stomach is because you are mature now. That's why you can eat those foods you are
mentioned.
But when you were a baby, you did not have that strength. You don't have that strength. Bible says that as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. That you can take. The milk. You can't take hard things. And that was the problem of the Corinthian church. Go back to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1. Those at the back, are you following me?
Yeah,
I'm trying to make you understand the stages you will go through so that you don't think, after I became born again, nothing has changed. Something has changed, but it's in the spirit. It will take some time for the physical to also follow. Look at it. Everybody, read, please be upstanding. You've been sitting for a while. We'll close just now. Be upstanding. And please read with me. Don't worry. As a youth pastor, I do these things because I don't want you to sleep. Okay? So read. Read with me. One, go. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Change the version. We used a different version. Amplify. Start one, go. However, brothers and sisters of rescue, I could not talk to you as to spiritual people, but only as to worldly people dominated by human nature, mere infant babies in the new life in Christ. The King James used babe. That's infant. I spoke to you as a baby.
No, Kasa Bofra.
Why is he saying that?
I didn't know Kasa.
When you are talking to a baby, do you talk to a baby the same way as you talk to an adult? You see this thing that I'm teaching you? If I'm talking to these people alone, my style will be different. If I go to the children ministry and I'm teaching them now, my style will be different again. My choice of language will be different. My approach will be different. Paul says that I could not advise you like I'm advising a spiritually adult
person.
But I spoke to you like I'm talking to a baby. That's how it is. The same situation, depending on who you are, I'll handle it in different ways. Because you are not at the same level. There are issues that come to my office that I call some people and I speak to them in a different way than I call another. By the same thing they did. But some of them are babies. I cannot correct them like I'm correcting an elder. Are you guys what I'm saying? That's why someone said that, oh no, the pastor is very, very biased. Yeah, he did it. The way he was wild on me, he was not wild on this brother. You are more mature, that's why. He is a babe. If you do ha-ha to a babe, he will cry. He can't take it. But when you do ha-ha to an adult, he stands and he looks at you. Yes, sir. I'm going to correct it. But a baby, the moment you change your face and your voice, you start crying. True or not true? He cannot take that style of correction. Paul says that I spoke to you as babies. I couldn't deal with you as spiritual people. Even though you speak in tongues, I fed you with milk. Are you reading it? One go. I fed you with what? Not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Even now, you are still not ready. Ask somebody, are you ready to receive solid? Or you are still a baby. It's like we cannot preach to you the hard things. Well, the day we preach the hard things to you, when you go, you never come back to the church again.
The devil rebuke you. That brother, what you did is wrong. That will be your end in this church. So even though you are wrong, what will call you? We have to defer you. We have to speak to you in a certain way. As if you are rather right. But that's how we deal with babies. I always tell my first girl, give it to her. She's a baby. Leave her. Don't mind her. She's a baby. Then I'll tell the baby, don't do that again, okay? I cannot demand anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? So some of you, check the way we even correct you. That should make you know that we are afraid of you. It means that we don't want to lose the opportunity God has given us to help you. So we have to be careful how we are handling you. Like something that you know you have done that you will have to receive stern warning or stern punishment. You see that it's like your elder is defending you. It's like I'm dealing with a baby. I have to be soft. I'm dealing with a baby. Like, I have to be soft. I could not give you solid food because you can't take it. I'm the one, but what can you take? What can you take? Can you take correction? Can you take blastings? Can you take warnings? Can you take rebuke? The Bible says that the word of God is for correction, for rebuke, for exhortation. Amen.
Amen.
So there is a rebuke aspect of the word of God. But you can't do it for children. They can't take it. They will stop church. They will stop church. So for me, I have two groups of people in this church. I have the general church. My approach. My way I handle you on Sundays. It's different. From after church closes, you see that a lot of you all go away. But there's another group who waits for me. Right in this church. You come and meet them praying. They are my disciples. They are the people who can receive another level. They can receive another level. There are many things Jesus taught to the disciples and not to the crowd. The day he said something that was hard to the crowd, Bible said they all left him. And he turned and asked the disciples, will you also go? The crowd cannot take it. The disciples told him, where are we going? We are going nowhere. We are going to still stay with you. It is the disciples that can receive the rebukes of a father. The disciples that can receive the corrections of an apostle. But the general church, you have to handle them carefully. You have to handle them carefully. You must not meddle in their private matters. You must not meddle in their private issues. But there are people I can call them to my office. Hey, I heard that you did this, you did that. Why did you do that? And give it to them back and forth. But there are other people, when I meet them, after I've heard they have done something, say, praise God. How are you, brother? The Lord is your portion. Then I have to look for idiomatic expressions and look for figurative statements and look for proverbs and just give a car a bebo. You can't go straight to the point. They will stop church. So you have to look for a general way of speaking. Because even if they get to know that you are aware, they will be angry with the one who came to tell you. So you can't even go straight forward. You have to behave like you are speaking through the stars. Say babies. Please sit down. May you not be a baby. What can you receive? What can you take?
Then I bet me achi.
We don't normally teach on tithing. The reason is because a lot of people cannot take it.
We normally don't teach on certain hard things. Because a lot of people cannot take it.
Before we bring aid to me and
so we look at the group we are dealing with, and then you hear certain hard messages coming. Are you following what I'm saying? It looks like on Sundays you have to encourage people with the word of God, the softer ones.
Softer ones.
Then as they are growing and maturing, then you'll be giving them the hard ones small. Like a baby, you are now exposing them to solid food. If we cannot tell you to your face that stop the fornication, you are a baby. We can't tell you that staying with another man you are not married to is not the will of God for
you.
It's like when we deal with you as if we don't know you are staying with a man. We deal with you as if we don't know you are fornicating. It's because you were a baby. We are just trusting God that you will grow. And when you grow to a certain level, we cannot give you those hard words. It's not like we encourage that, no. But there are many things that you have to allow your baby to grow before you can teach them. What can you take? What can you take? What hard thing can you take? Can I correct you? Can I tell you that what you are doing is wrong? Will you be angry with your leader? Will you be angry with your shepherd? Will you stop coming around? Will you decide not to be around anymore? Because pastor says something. There are people, when you preach, you tell them that don't work on Sundays. Any work that takes you away, that Sundays you are always working, you don't have time for God, and you need to have time, otherwise you are serving Pharaoh. The moment they hear you teach that thing, they'll be offended in you. Because they don't joke with their Sunday money. Because Sunday they get double. And the devil is very smart. That's why he gives you double on that day. They can't accept hard thing. You tell them that, listen, this guy is not a Christian. He will not take you anywhere. Break up. They can't. You dare not tell them that break up. They can't. You dare not tell them that break up. There are people who join my church, I never talk about their relationship. But when I watch them grow from one level to another, and I see that they have joined that group I'm talking about, then I begin to psych them and see that they are now ready for another level. See that now I'll enter into their life. And when I see anything that must change, I say, change it. Because they are matured. Because they have grown than the normal person. Are you a baby?
We are a fra.
Or you are growing.
And I won't.
What can you take?
Then I'll bet me.
It's a question you must think about.
I asked him, what's our changing home?
What can I take? They were all following Jesus. And they were enjoying the miracles. Until the day Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, say hard things. Hey, are we cannibals? Cannibals. Hey, must we eat blood? They all left Jesus.
God,
they could not take the hard teachings. What can you take? What can you take? We have to always pamper you. 7 things that Jesus will do for you. 16 steps to prosperity. 72 steps to having a successful relationship and marriage. The day we talk to you about hell is real, and every liar here will go to hell, you stop church.
And they say, sorry.
The day we tell you that when you sleep with your beloved, it's fornication, it's not called dating, you stop church. The day we approach you, we tell you that adding zeros to the figure, you are stealing from your board, it is stealing, you stop church. It's a sign that you are a baby. You can't take hard things. Can you help me identify any baby in the church? Just help point one baby you know. You can't point because you are number one. Lord, have mercy on us and help us. Help us. Amen.
Amen.
Write this down as I close. Number three, they are innocent. When you become born again, you are very innocent like a baby. That means you don't know anything in Christ. You don't know anything, especially if you have come into Christianity fresh. Maybe you are Hindu. You have come Christian fresh. You don't know anything. You don't know what speaking in tongues is. You don't know what communion is. You don't know what water baptism is. You know nothing. That's how babies are. They are very blunt. So if you are here, you don't know anything about communion. You don't know what water baptism is. You don't know what speaking in tongues is. You don't know rapture. You've not even heard it before. You don't know anything about judgment. You don't know how what are the dynamisms of holiness. You don't know what righteousness means. It means that you are innocent. You are blank. So if you are a shepherd over a new person, you have work to do. I said you have what? Work to do. Number four, they are ignorant. They don't know anything about anything. That even what they even want, they don't know. They don't know the good relationship they should enter into. That's why I advise people about relationship. Because they are my children. Paul says that my children in whom I labor again for Christ to be formed in you. So they are my children. So I have to help them. They don't even know what is good for their future. So I have to look and say, that, Lord, this guy will not help you. This lady will be toxic in your life. Go this direction. Go that direction. I have to help them. I have to advise them. Because they lack understanding that fornication will destroy them. They lack understanding that smoking will destroy them. Even when I say they should stop listening to worldly songs, they don't understand why. Pastor, worldly song, they say, send your shame. Pabubu, onanu tumifu. How many of you, Pabubu has been advising you? Daddy Lumba is your advisor. Pastor, have you forgotten that Amachi Dede sang a certain song? Say, we are similar away. Abrabono, yeah, different, different. So you take advice from Amachi Dede. The Bible is not enough.
The Bible and so
you are wiser than God.
Why do you be saying?
For me, the reason why I like listening to Kodwen Tree is because Otatu for Ninumno a futuo. So all the advice in the Bible and so. You have finished the Bible advice. Now you have gone to Kojoenchi's advice. My dear, don't justify what will kill you. What will kill your spirit. Don't justify it. Don't justify it. They don't understand. They are ignorant. Proverbs 6:32. And Proverbs 6:27. It's about people who are into things that they don't even know is destroying them. They lack understanding. That's why babies can take poison and they will drink. They will be drinking the poison and be smiling. Hello.
Hi.
They don't know it can kill them.
What in him say bet me a kun?
So he that commits sexual sin doesn't know. He that is masturbating doesn't know the effect of the masturbation. He that is chasing a sugar mommy doesn't know the effect. He that is stealing from his boss doesn't know the effect. He that is feeding on worldly songs and all kinds of lustful movies doesn't know that he can never be spiritual. Number five, they cry a lot because of offense. Children cry a lot. How many of you know? Oh, hello, lift up your hand. How many of you know children cry a lot? When they are hungry, they will cry. When they are hungry, they will cry.
When they are feeling sleepy, they will cry. Where you are going, they don't even know where you are going, they will cry. Where you are protecting them from something that will make them sick like toffee, they will cry. When you are taking them to school so that they will grow up and become intellectuals and become big men in life, they will cry. Like, there is nothing they will not cry about. The moment they feel uncomfortable and little, they will cry. Crying is the way they express their offense. I said, crying is what? That is why when they grow up a bit, now when they are offended, they don't cry. What do? They walk over you. They will frown their face. They will chuckle. Because now they are growing, so they are changing the language of offense. But when they are young, their way of expressing offense is to cry. When you see anybody in church who is so sensitive, the little thing he's offended, the smallest thing he's offended, he didn't talk to me well, she didn't greet me well, she yelled at me, she spoke to me in front of everybody. When I was late, small, no, she was talking. I gave her this and then she took that. He doesn't know what I've been through. Doesn't know what I'm suffering. The little thing. You even give them where to sit. That they don't like. They will stop church. They are offended. Ask the one by you, do you easily get offended? Are you sensitive? Are you so sensitive? Like the little thing, you'll be angry. Then you are, we are just playing with you, then you are angry. We correct you small, you are angry. The word of God comes, it touches you small, you are angry. No. No. That's a sign of a baby. See, those are the people, they move from church to church. They can't stay in a church.
What it means now, sorry about,
because one thing about those people is that they are looking for a perfect place. They are looking for a perfect place. That's why, everybody watch me. When your baby becomes angry with you, start crying, where will she go to? She will go to the other. If it's the mother that rebuilt, that day, the other parent will be the best friend. He will cry straight to the arms of the other parent. Like, mommy, daddy, give it 1 hour. Let the father also say, hey, stop! Or give him a spank. He will cry and go to who? The one that she was angry with. They can't be in one place because they are always looking for perfection. They are looking for a perfect church. Oh, my brother, my sister, there's nothing like perfect church. There's nothing like a perfect family. There's nothing like a perfect pastor. There's nothing like a perfect leader at all. There's nothing like a perfect husband. There's nothing like a perfect wife. To us human, wherever human beings enter, there's no more perfection. The day you entered into the church and you saw that human beings were in the church, you should have gone back, because it can never be a perfect church. You are a human being. The moment you join the group of angels, they will become imperfect because a human being has joined them. We were perfect before you came. You have made us imperfect. So if you think we are imperfect because you are one. So if you don't grow up and you are still so sensitive, and the head of Asha didn't talk to me well, and the choir didn't talk to me well, and the pastor shouted at me, and I don't like the way they do things, and I don't like the way they correct people in this church, and I don't like the way they go place to place. Please, you are a baby. My recommendation for you is not to leave the church. Let me help you. My recommendation for you is to see your problem. Because people like you, you are self-righteous. You feel that's how babies are. Babies will always point at someone. Baby, no baby will admit and say that I beat him with my teeth. No baby will tell you that I beat him with my teeth. Your child will go and beat somebody, they will beat her back. She will cry to you and say they have beaten her. She won't tell you that I beat them first. Children are self-righteous. And people who are in this church who like complaining, self-righteous people. You feel there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Always is that brother. Always is that sister. Always is that woman. He has done this to me. She has done that to me. So today they are your friends. In 3 months they become your enemies. Then you look for a new friend. That in 3 months you change again. So to you, everybody is evil. If in your world everybody is evil, it means you are the evil one. If you cannot stay with one person, you are the evil one. You cannot keep one friend for 1 year, you are the wrong person. These are hard things. You see, you cannot take it. You see that your face has changed. You see that you have found your face. You see why I don't preach about this one. Today I made a small mistake. I preach about it all. Today I've told you that you are self-righteous. Today I've told you that you feel that you are perfect. What I've been afraid to tell you all this while. I just tell you, God is with you. God will be with you. Today that I told you, see that you have found your face. If you have found your face, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Yes. You have a problem. Every day, somebody. Jesus says that offense will come.
Christo said, "Now from Swababa."
Jesus said it. That Christo, you will be offended.
Say, from Swababa.
If you like, leave rescue and go and look for CAC. Go and look for a brand new church. Let the pastor be so good to you. And go there. And give yourself 5 years there. If people join that church, you will have to change again. Because somebody will offend you. Somebody will offend you. So the earlier you wake up and grow, the better. Grow up. Charlie, grow up. Grow up. Stop this thing. Every day you have an issue with somebody. Every day you stop this church, you go here, you stop that church, you go here. In 5 years, you've changed 6 churches. What is wrong with you?
I don't know how.
You go, you fornicate, they say it, you stop. You go to another place. You don't want the truth. You are a baby. You can't receive hard things. But from today, may God give you the grace to go through the process so that you can mature. So that you can grow up. So that you can mature. Am I talking to people who are offended? You see that they are not clapping. The word of God has identified them. Now I can see their faces.
Okay.
I've seen them. I've caught 5 people here right now. I've caught 5 people here who are offended with people secretly. Say, I'm growing from today. Say, I'm growing from today. Say, my character is changing from today. From today, I'll always check what I have done. What I have done. Not what somebody has done. What did I also do? That's maturity. That you sit down and then you ask yourself, what did I do? How can I change? Why is it that everywhere I get to, I have issues? Everywhere I get to, then I get issues. So that it looks like I'm too sensitive. Because I've met people who have been there 5 years, they are still there. How different am I from them? Offense. Offense. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3. He said, for you are still carnal. That's too worldly. For where there is envy, where there is strife, you have people who are doing akaka, they are in the church. Worldly. You are not matured. Carnal. You still have somebody, and the person doesn't even know something in your account. That's the danger. The person doesn't even know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. The person doesn't even know. And you are hurt because of how the person spoke to you. Because of that, you stop things that you do in the church. Now, you not serve communion again because you came to prepare communion. Somebody says something. Now you not play instrument again. Now when you come, you just sit at the back. Because you don't want to come in. Then somebody will say that offense. Small, small things. They are signs of babyhood. Lord, help me to grow. Help me to grow. Help me as I feed on your word. Help me to grow. How many of you want to grow? Clap your two hands for them. Division among you. Say, are you not carnal and behaving like worldly people? This is how to see people who are spiritual. Listen to me. If you have a friend in this church who always complain, always has an issue with someone, always draw the attention of you and other people to the problem of the person, may I advise you? You are handling a baby. If you don't help yourself, they will corrupt you with their overly sensitivity. By the time a church you were enjoying just these few years, you will stop. But unless you go to heaven and go and look for a church
there.
Finally, they lack self-control. They lack self-control. They can't control themselves. They are born again. But they feel like drinking. They go and drink. They feel like having sex. They go and have sex with the wrong person. They are not married. They feel like hitting you. They can't control it. They will hit you. Babies can't control themselves.
And my friends mean show on hoso.
Do you know a baby who wants to cry, who waits till you have left the place, then will cry? At least it's such a baby. A baby who is about to cry. Then sees that, oh, I'm around people. Then the baby will. Then when he leaves the place, then he won't cry. I've never seen such a baby before. Babies don't know how to control themselves.
My friend
named
one
also. Say, calm. They will poo-poo anywhere. In the car. You see that the car is going, trot-trot people. Already people are pushing you, and your baby too has poo-poo when you are cleaning, and people have held their dose. You can't advise your baby, my dear baby. We're on a bus. Poo-poo not here. Babies don't have self-control. They are born again. They are babies. But they don't know the right time. That's why they are speaking in tongues. You pray for them, the Holy Ghost has come upon them. But if Adjoa makes a mistake, they will sleep with Adjoa. If you leave your phone, they will steal it and still lift up the other hand, holy hands. Meanwhile, your phone is in their pocket, but their hands are lifted, speaking in tongues. Blah, 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 blah. But they've stolen your phone right in the
service.
They don't have self-control to see something and say no. Children don't have that capacity.
My friend is
this is the difference between Christians. This is the difference between pastors. This is the difference between believers. Some are born again yet not converted. Some have mastered the word. They have stamina. They can say no to the right time. That's the difference between babies and spiritual mature people. For every level you are, you have not yet apprehended. I still get angry. I still lose it once in a while. I still become sensitive once in a while.
I still feel like also fornicating once in a while. I also see something that my body is calling for once. I've not yet apprehended. But one thing I do, that I forget the things in the past. I forget the mistakes in my past. So today, forget the mistakes I'm talking about in your past. And focus on today. And tomorrow. And forge on. Try to make new decisions. Try to make corrections. And run the race set ahead of you. Until you attain the mark of the high calling of God. And what is that mark? That I may be like him. That I may be like him. That you may be like him. To be conformed to the image of his. That's the mark. The mark is not to become a bishop. Paul didn't say he's running to become. By the time he was talking, he was an apostle. The highest of the offices in those days. So he was not talking about an ecclesiastical office. He was talking about conformity to Christ. Forget about what you messed up with yesterday, okay? Focus on today. Pastor, what you have said, I've heard. I'm part of the people you've spoken about. I'm going to work it out. The Lord will help me. I'll change some things. The grace of God that teaches us salvation is made available for us. And I'll use it. If that is your resolution as I'm talking, then you're on the first step to growth. And if you are angry, and if you are hurt, and you feel like somebody has said something against you, then you just confirmed who you are. You are not more than a baby. May the Lord help you. Clap your two hands.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.